Working together, like the team they'd become, the five friends managed to haul the travois across the dried-up bed of the creek, wrestling it up the farther slope onto flatter ground. They eventually found a level place behind a ridge of frost-broken boulders beneath the mesa. Lori stayed with the delirious boy, while the other four found good places to defend among the rocks. The trail came within 100 paces or so of where they waited. The dust cloud was becoming larger, unmistakable.
Christy, can you make out anything?
Men on horses. Gray clothes, I think. Could be 30 or so, it's hard to tell. Looks like they're riding in pairs.
Sekhmen?
Can't tell.
Whites or Indians?
Can't see.
Blasters?
Gaia, I know my sight's better than most, but I can't count the damned fleas on a pig at 20 miles. They're still too far off for me to make out.
In the stillness that followed, they could all hear Jack's voice, babbling jagged, broken phrases. Moments from his past, from his imagination.
Bastard.
Moments from nowhere.
Puppies close in on me, with teeth blooded, slain waxwing shadow and eyes. Let's lick breast, Sweden, seen into night. Father!
Lori, keep it quiet.
Don't bother, Lori. We're not worried about hiding. We want them to see us. Let the kid rave all he wants to. Maybe it'll help him some.
Gradually, the horsemen, in double column, drew closer. They were all wearing uniforms of light gray, and were mostly mounted on bay steeds. Ryan could see the sun dancing off shining metal, indicating that they were all armed. He couldn't rid himself of the nagging feeling that there was something wrong. They rode too tight together, and it looked as if they wore similar uniforms. That meant Sekhmen. And Sekhmen meant trouble.
Don't all show yourselves. Keep under cover and keep them covered. Wait for my word. If there's any threat, then pour it in them. Keep careful.
Ryan waited until the men, 27 of them in all, were level with their hiding place on the narrow trail. He rose, standing behind the boulders, waving his hands above his head. The Sig Sauer was unholstered, and the Heckler and Koch rested at his feet, ready for use.
Hey! Hey!
His sudden appearance had a dramatic effect on the mounted patrol. A tall man at the front of the column pulled up short, and the column wheeled, straggling a little, stringing out along the side of the trail.
Company! Halt!
Ryan stood still, the others remaining hidden and silent. He held his hands out wide in the universal gesture, showing that he held no weapons and meant no harm. Over the years, Ryan had also often come to recognize the gesture as that of someone about to spring an ambush. The line of men watched him. Ryan ran his eye along them, noting a variety of things. They all wore the same uniform, dusty and gray, with what looked like a golden stripe down the sides of their pants. Most wore slouch hats, all had boots, some had swords slung at their hips, others holstered pistols. Nearly all of them had long blasters hidden in buckets on the side of the saddle, but he couldn't make out what type they were. The leader was much taller than most, riding a well-muscled black stallion. Ryan knew from the position of the sun that the patrol of Sekhmen, for that's what they had to be, couldn't see him clearly.
Hello there! I've got a man sick! Can you help?
The leader had a thick-set man behind him, with three stripes faintly visible on his upper arm. Behind him came a single rider holding a guidon that fluttered at the tip of a spear. The rest of the men were strung out at the rear. With his eyes locked on Ryan Cotter, the leader took off one of a pair of leather gauntlets and began to brush at the dust on his clothes. The rest of the column followed his example, the men disappearing behind a quivering wraith of reddish gray. The cloud cleared away slowly, and Ryan and his concealed companions could see the Sekhmen properly for the first time. The uniforms weren't gray, they were dark blue, with a stripe of yellow down the side of the breeches. The saddles were a peculiar, high, old-fashioned kind of design. Ryan could only see the hilts of the long, curved sabers, but they looked like brass. It wasn't possible to make out any of the blasters that the Sekhmen carried. The leader took off his hat very slowly and deliberately, revealing a tumbling mane of golden hair, as long and lush as Lori's blonde tresses. The face was thin, with a yellow mustache, the eyes narrow. It seemed to Ryan that there was something wrong with the thin-lipped mouth. It looked skewed, as though from some old wound. And it looked oddly familiar. The wind unfurled the flag atop the lance, held by the young galloper. The flag was dark blue, and it carried only a large golden number, the number 7.
By the 3 Kennedys! We've cron-jumped by mistake. This is 1875. That's Autie Custer and the 7th Cavalry.
Ryan had read about General Custer and his blue-coat pony soldiers. 40 miles a day on beans and hay had been one of their slogans. Custer had been the brightest and best young officer in the country, and he'd ridden to his death in some dreadful ambush in the 19th century. To his right, Ryan glimpsed J.B., his angular jaw dropped in amazement.
Is it a cron jump, lover?
I don't know.
Shit!
Ryan dove sideways to save his life, his brain a jagged maze of swirling confusion. Had they stumbled on some distant ville where the Baron used a military force of Sekhmen, armed and uniformed like something out of a Remington painting or a Brady daguerreotype? Or was Doc right? Had they accidentally triggered the gateway into operating on a cron jump system? Which century were they in? The 22nd or the 19th? By the time he'd come up from the somersault, he had the G-12 and was crouching behind cover, ready to join the firefight.
Let him have it?
Yeah, hold him off! Don't let him get close, but everyone watch the ammo!
Ryan had been in firefights where thousands of rounds had been blasted off in a couple of minutes of bloody action. That was when you had the supply wags at your back. Now, they were friendless in a strange and hostile land, more hostile than he'd imagined at first. All they had was all they carried.
Company! Hold fire!
Ryan risked a glance around his boulder, seeing that the blue-uniformed Sekhmen had spread out in an efficient skirmishing line, each man picking his own cover from the range of hollows and scattered rocks. The officer was just visible near the center of the men, holding up his drawn saber, the sunlight glittering brightly from the blade. In the momentary silence, Ryan decided to try again.
We got a man wounded! We don't mean any harm! Why do you blast us?
If you speak the truth, then all of you come out! Hands high, blasters in the dirt!
I was wrong. It's not a cron jump. They didn't call guns blasters in Custer's day. There's something rather suspicious here, Ryan. I advise some caution.
The warning wasn't necessary. There was something about the tall, lean man that rang a distant bell in Ryan's memory. And the memory was tainted with a dark shadow. At least it was good news that they hadn't traveled centuries back in time. Yet, why were these men all clothed in such outdated uniforms? Dressed as the old 7th Cavalry, which had been wiped away by Crazy Horse and the Sioux up on the Little Bighorn. Ryan wasn't a doomy or a censor, but the prickling of the short hairs at the nape of his neck gave its own warning.
Come out and show yourself!
Don't, lover. Something's real bad here.
First you come here and talk some about it.
Ma didn't raise me to lay my neck under the axe, stranger. Come out now or we come and take you. Better my way.
You say.
Mister, I don't have the time to wait here in the sun while you fight around with me. You got 10 seconds to come out. And how many you got yonder?
Enough. With enough blasters to make you pay a price.
You say.
Ryan could still see the last foot or so of the sword's blade protruding behind the boulder. A rising wind blew a veil of dust between the two sides.
10 seconds, stranger! What you got to lose? One way or another, we get you.
I know the voice. Can't place it, though.
And I associate it with past wickedness, but I fear that the memory is blurred, like so many.
5 seconds!
Ryan leveled the smooth muzzle of the G-12, holding his breath as he drew a careful bead. The laser-enhanced scope sight gave him a perfect view of his target, though it shimmered a little in the desert heat.
2 seconds, stranger! You show yourself and you don't get harmed! You got the General's word on that!
You first, General!
For a man with just 2 seconds left to live, you got a lot of gall, stranger! Show yourself to me! Seems like I might know you from somewhere.
Ryan didn't reply, concentrating his attention on a difficult shot, the caseless rifle steady on the rounded edge of the boulder. The range wasn't anything to the G-12, but the target was almost impossibly small.
Ready, troopers! Hardner, take 5 men and go left, along the draw. Come around behind him. Bowman, do the same to the right. Go on my word.
The orders carried clearly to the 5 friends as they waited, hidden from the Sekhmen. Ryan's finger tightened on the trigger of the blaster,
Wait.
That's it, stranger!
The recoil of the G-12 pushed against Ryan's shoulder with an insistent nudge. Straining his ears, he heard the sound of success.
Ah, damnation!
Through the sight, Ryan could see the blonde man shaking his jarred wrist. The saber had been sent spinning from his fingers, and now lay a half dozen paces beyond the ridge of stones.
Put the ace right on the line. That should stir up some shit down there for the sec, man.
Yeah.
Company, fire!
But when the companions ducked, they were safe in the dip. Ryan knew that if the sec man managed to get around back of them, on the top of the ridge behind, then their time would be counted down in seconds.
Die, you bastard!
The carbines were single shot, and there was a momentary but appreciable delay in the volleys. Ryan sensed the rhythm, waiting for the moment to squint around the right-hand side of the covering rocks, trying to find a target for the G-12. His friends were doing the same, but only he and the armorer possessed blasters capable of causing problems for the distant sec men.
Wait for them to try moving. Some will go left and some right. JB, you take any going to the left.
Sure.
The golden-haired officer didn't waste any time. Obviously angered and shaken by having his sword shot clean out of his hand, he snapped orders to his patrol. Moments later, screened by another burst of fire from the carbines, the sec men made their move.
Now!
Ryan showed himself for just a moment, the Heckler and Coke now set on triple burst. He squeezed the trigger three times. Of the six men scurrying along, partly hidden by the dead ground, Ryan saw four go down, the other two diving flat for the minimal cover. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw that JB's racketing mini-Uzi had knocked down three of the half-dozen sec men trying to circle them on the left. The double burst of lethal fire had the temporary effect of silencing the remainder of the hidden sec men.
That'll give them something to think about.
They'll just be more careful when they creep at us. They didn't know how many there were of us before, but now they know better.
The silence from the sec men lasted several minutes. The long-haired leader of their attackers scuttled across to join the rest of his men, obviously to plan their next moves without bellowing out orders that could be heard from higher up the hill. Though the lay of the first deck of cards favored the defenders, Ryan had seen enough firefights to be pessimistically aware of how slim their chances really were. The sec men were only armed with the single-shot carbines, but they seemed well-drilled and disciplined, and there were still at least 20 of them alive against the five friends. Whoever was in charge of the sec men knew his job. He made sure that Ryan and the others didn't get a chance to relax or to grow confident in their position. Every half minute or so, there'd be a ragged volley of shots, closely aimed, keeping heads down, leaving a bitter layer of dust in the baking air. Ryan slithered back down to see how Jack was. Lori was still kneeling beside him, fanning with her hand to try to keep the horde of midges from settling in his open mouth and on the crusted, staring pink eyes. The boy had finally sunk into a coma, but his body still twitched and jerked, and he was looking open-eyed into some unimaginable distance. Every now and again he blinked, and his lips moved as if he were speaking, but no audible sound emerged.
Can't you help him, Ryan?
I tried. Those bastards don't seem to be interested in giving any help.
Can I try?
That way you die along with the kid. No.
What are we doing? Just waiting?
Yeah. If they rush us, we can take a whole lot of them out.
Ryan.
What?
JB pointed first to their right, and then up the left side.
Look. Dust. They got men around the sides.
Fire blast.
He turned and looked behind them, up the hill to the skeletal row of boulders marking the ridge.
If I'd known they'd start blasting us, I'd have gone there. Too damn late now.
Best we go out and try and take them?
We can't. Can't leave Doc and the girls. Sec men had overrun them in 10 seconds.
Can't stay here. Pick us off. Easy as spotting blood on a snowfield.
When one is caught between a rock and a hard place, then one must pick the lesser of the twin evils.
Best we do it now. You and me, JB. Dodge down toward them. Pour it on. Doc and Christy come after. Lori stays with Jack. There's still a chance for them.
Christy glanced behind them, up the slope, staring. Ryan's eye was caught, and he too looked. Then Doc, and finally JB. The ridge had been bare 15 seconds earlier. Now it held a line of mounted men, dark in colorful clothes, all holding rifles.
Apache Indians.
The hard place just got harder.
The soldiers saw the Indians at the same moment that Ryan and his friends did.
Savages! Fire!
The carbines spat lead at the newcomers. Several of the sec men showed themselves, and Ryan and JB took advantage of their carelessness to cut down three more. But the Apaches still showed no sign of wanting to enter the fight on either side. The horsemen were about 500 yards behind them, sitting impassively. Ryan could make out that they were dark and stocky and wore headbands of colored cotton.
Cease fire!
Oh, no. It's all wrong. The way it's always been, the 7th Cavalry comes riding.